in the limelight.
Having lost the election as well as dozens of post-election challenges, Donald Trump's ongoing refusal to admit defeat is still doing damage to Joe Biden's transition to power. The formal process has finally begun, but it is weeks late and spent a long time starved of funds as Republican officials stonewalled usual procedures. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian journalist Richard Wolff. The piece is titled, How Trump is Destroying the Presidential Transition Process. Stay with us for more of Richard Wolff's article. Having lost the election as well as dozens of post-election challenges, Donald Trump's ongoing refusal to admit defeat is still doing damage to Joe Biden's transition to power. The formal process has finally begun, but it is weeks late and spent a long time starved of funds as Republican officials stonewalled usual procedures. But beyond the inconvenience and cost of a deferred start to his administration, what does the president-elect lose from the president's refusal to acknowledge the inevitable? The answer goes far beyond Donald Trump's hurt feelings or the desire among Biden supporters for some form of concession. Even the smoothest of transitions can be painfully slow for the world's largest economy. Presidential transitions are, at the best of times, impossibly unwieldy and inefficient. The federal government has more than 2 million full-time civil servants, but in fact employs another 9 million active-duty military, postal workers, contractors, and grantees. The workforce of more than 11 million is about to lose as many as 800 executives, among the more than 4,100 presidential appointments that need to be filled as soon as possible. In 2008, the incoming Obama administration enjoyed the full cooperation of the outgoing Bush presidency, as well as control of both sides of Congress. It took Barack Obama 1 month to fill half of the 60 priority positions that require Senate confirmation, but it took another year to fill the other half of the posts. The pace is already unimaginable, given Donald Trump's obstruction of the transition and a promise by some Republican senators to block Joe Biden's nominees. Since the Bush-Obama handover, Congress has passed two laws to improve the 1963 law that governs presidential transitions, in each case to start the massive switch in management earlier than the election. The most recent update in 2015, led by Ted Kaufman, Joe Biden's former chief of staff, who now runs the Biden transition, pushed the start of the handover to 6 months before the election. In practice, campaigns are reluctant to begin the detailed work of planning for power because they fear that it will look like they are arrogantly assuming victory and taking the voters for granted. Max Steyer, president and chief executive officer of Partnership for Public Service, a nonpartisan government reform group, says Donald Trump has exposed new flaws in an already flawed system. This is a massive undertaking in an ordinary time. It is an extraordinarily hard task, and this makes it much harder, Steyer says. What's been exposed here is a real problem and a challenge of the existing system. I think a lot of people have been appalled that cooperation isn't occurring, and I do think that there needs to be a specific legislative fix to ensure that the ascertainment decision is made with much more dispatch. Delays in transitions can lead to serious national security challenges. The 9/11 Commission found that the delayed transition followed the extended recount of the 2000 election prevented the incoming Bush administration from being fully prepared for the threat to the American security. The risks are those right in front of our faces, the need to respond to the pandemic and the economic crisis and racial equality issues, says Max Steyer. And then there's what Rumsfeld called the known unknowns. We live in an uncertain world and there are curveballs thrown at the country. We need to have a government that is ready for that as soon as they are in charge. In the last democratic transition, speed was critical. Melody Barnes was part of the Obama transition in 2008 before leading the White House Domestic Policy Council. We probably had people going into departments and agencies within 2 or 3 days of the election, Melody Barnes says. As I remember it, there was election day and the very next day, by noon, I had to be in meetings that would allow for the kickoff process that would allow teams to go in. When you walk in the door, you have to hit the ground running. In the early days, agency review teams see critical information about policy, personnel, litigation and new regulations. That intelligence is relayed back to transition headquarters and may influence the new appointments under consideration. When you walk in the door and you are the Biden administration versus the Trump administration, you're still also the government of the United States, says Barnes. And the government is in court a lot, in a lot of different places, and there's regulation that was started in September, October, November, and it's moving through the process that continues in January and February. You've got to know what's going on and where it stands. For the Obama team, that included seeking the advice of career officials at the White House Office of Management and Budget to help shape the urgent need for stimulus spending after the financial crisis of 2008. Today, the Biden team, that advice would focus on both stimulus spending and vaccine distribution. However, even when the transition begins in full, the early Republican roadblock suggests a long and fraught path to confirmation for Joe Biden's nominees. You have Lindsey Graham saying that Georgia election wasn't legitimate and ballots needed to be thrown out, says Melanie Barnes. He's also holding the hearings in the Senate, potentially managing the confirmation hearing for the Attorney General. Janet Napolitano talks about Inauguration Day in 2008 and sitting in the view stand with the other nominees. They were getting tapped on the shoulder as they were getting confirmed by the Senate. You know, there won't be a lot of shoulder tapping happening this time. That points to the far bigger problem with American political appointments, the spoil system that last underwent reform in 1883 after James Garfield was assassinated by a disgruntled and deranged supporter who believed he was owed a high-profile job. The alternative, a larger civil service, would lead to less political patronage and more policy professionalism. But at a time when Trump supporters claim they are opposed to something called the deep state, it may be hard to win broad backing for reforms. My hope is that you see more senior career leaders like Tony Fauci responsible for things and fewer political appointees who are chosen on the basis of their political affiliation, says Max Steyer. There's a big distance between where the US stands and pretty much any other democracy. The spoil system in the US isn't represented at the scale it is in Britain or any other major democracy.